Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrage. Quatt is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrage here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
Yes, and thank you to the great man, Dennis Cometti. You are listening to Quarters and Barra. I am Glenn Quatermain, senior sports reporter with West Australia. And with me is Adrian Barrage of Channel 7 West Coast Eagles and Perth Football Club fame. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. G'day, Barra. We've got some serious stuff to unpack this morning, but before we do, let's just have a little bit of fun. It did catch my attention at the weekend. It was a bit of a bizarre round, and no more bizarre than up in Queensland for the Q Clash, where they had a string of outs. I think Brandon Sarcevic was injured in the warm-up, and they had to call in this kid, Logan Morris, and he wasn't expecting to play. And what had he consumed?
Well, he'd already played in the VFL, hadn't he? In a 75-point loss. What time was that? So he had to get 13 Ks to the stadium. And on the way there, he called through McDonald's. And I'll tell you what, I've had the barbecue Angus meal. Yeah. They're pretty good, mate. Yeah. He's gone for the barbecue Angus meal, the 6 nuggets, and the frappe.
Probably had the sauce, the barbecue sauce with the nuggets too.
The worst, absolute worst preparation you can have. He's had to borrow Marcus Ashcroft's boots. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And they were too small. And he's gone out there.
Extraordinary.
He's done okay, and they've won. It, with all those injuries and those knee, we shouldn't laugh about those knee injuries, but a couple of those are really serious.
They are. They did well. It's a good victory. It reminded me, Barra, of one of my favourite footy stories. I'm going back to 1981 and the preliminary final, Geelong v Collingwood, and there's still mystery surrounding this with the late, great Gary Sidebottom. But what happened was Peter Johnson, he was a Geelong player. Right. He was a centre-half forward. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he arrives at the game having played the reserves, and this is a preliminary final. And I always thought he'd had a pie, but I believe I'm corrected. He had a half a chicken, a large chips, and a strawberry thick shake.
Oh.
And he was tapped on the shoulder, "You're playing." And I think I was at that game, actually. Collingwood got up by a kick, and Johnson didn't play very well, not surprisingly. But interestingly, many years later, Johnson said, "Billy," this is the coach, Billy Goggin at the time, walked up to me and said, "You're not playing." Which was no surprise, but what he said immediately after seemed a bit odd. "Bring your gear in case Sidey misses the bus." So obviously they're getting the bus from Geelong down to Waverley, and I think Sidey was living somewhere along the way, maybe Lara, somewhere like that, and he missed the bus. So, you know.
You're saying they wanted him to miss the bus?
Well, I'm suggesting that the bus did not stop. Yes.
Hey, isn't that Sidey? Nah.
And Peter Johnson, who's just tucked in for some lunch after a reserves game, gets hauled in.
Jeez.
Amazing.
I reckon I can match that.
Yep.
There's a famous story at the Perth Football Club, and this is in a grand final, right? So Noel Wilson has played in the Rezzy's grand final at Subi Oval. They've won the flag. Perth's won the flag, right? Noel Wilson, Rezzy's player. And he's celebrating in the change rooms, starting
couple
to drink
of
beers,
yeah.
pies, everything going on. And Robert Page, famous footballer for the Perth Footy Club's champion, 1968, real tough guy. He goes down the race and he tweaks his calf or his hammy or something and he can't run. He said, "Hey, I can't play." And they've gone, "Geez, we're going to have to get someone out of the Rezzies." So they've gone back into the change rooms where the boys are celebrating and go, "No, you're playing." He goes, "I can't play. I've had 2 beers and 3 pies and whatever else." He goes, "No, you're playing." So he plays in the 1968 grand final. Perth win. He's the only bloke ever to win 2 premierships on the same day.
Well, how'd he play?
He got on there and did his job. But Perth was so strong, you know, with Atwell and all those sort
couple
of blokes.
A couple of beers, though. Jeez.
But he's won 2 flags on one day.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's a great effort too, isn't it? Noel Wilson, he still comes to the club and we still, hey, everyone, he must get sick of people asking him about it.
Oh, it's a great story.
And what about you, mate? I was laughing my ass off. Oh, sorry, that's probably not the right
that's
expression,
right.
But I was laughing a lot when I saw the Hawthorn Bulldogs game.
Oh.
And I see the Hawks starting to win. I know it's going to coincide with your breaking your drought of 100 days.
Yes, I got through 100 days of no alcohol and I was quite excited. I had to work on Sunday and then in the afternoon I've moseys on up to the Civic Hotel.
And I can imagine you sitting on the couch with your Hawthorn gear on with the boys. And you were, weren't you?
I was for the half. And then I wandered up to the Civic.
I got so excited. I'm going to the pub.
Yeah, and
but how's the timing? Coinciding with you giving up. Yeah, the 100 days, getting back
fantastic.
On it. And I thought, he's going to destroy himself.
Good game too. Nice finish.
How hard did you go?
Yeah, reasonably hard. You know. I'm 0 or 100 miles an hour. You know that.
Especially with the Hawks winning an upset and sinking poor old Bevo. Oh, mate, isn't he under the pump
he
now?
He is. So some serious stuff came out of the weekend as well. We'll work our way through that. But let's start with that game. Bevo is under the pump. Stared down the media after the game and said, you know, it's part of the game. I expect it. I'll accept the criticism that comes my way, but I won't change the way I'm going about things. I think more concerning was Tom Liberatore. So a knock to the head. He's had 4 concussions in 12 months now. And I know that the...
The way he goes in with his head over the ball... I don't know if you can do that anymore. Do we need to say that's courageous anymore?
Well, I think we have to start changing our narrative around this stuff. I mean, there is a lot of courage that goes with it. Let's not deny that.
It does,
that,
mate. Putting your head over the ball is the hardest thing.
No question.
Putting the head in the hole, as they say.
But we're getting better.
Term.
I think we're getting better in the media around this. There's blokes who are not going for marks due to impact. And we're not calling them out, which is a good thing because this is where
back
we're going
to... Back with the flight of the ball, you mean? Yeah. Maybe, do you reckon head over the ball... Because that's like a common term that you always say, get your head over the ball, you know, which...
So there's another one, Barrett,
at the
weekend.
Get your hip over the ball, I don't know. Is there another way of doing it?
Yeah, well, we're just going to have to really... It's all about protecting the head. The Owies one really worried me at the weekend. So Owies contributing to that dangerous tackle. It wasn't deemed a dangerous tackle because he's dived forward. And I raised the point, Barrett, in my column on Sunday, and I stick with it. I think we're going to have to start pinging players a week for doing that. Because they're going to start... Mate, if you're diving head first into the turf... And we know that players are milking this situation because Josh Dunkley told us this a few weeks ago. So we know it's happening. And I think we're going to get to the stage where the match review panel should have a look at incidents and say, well, you're copping a week for that. They did it with diving and no one dives anymore.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it's crazy to put your head down and try to hit the ground so that you can draw a free kick. I tell you who's had the last laugh is Sam Draper. I know he got dropped for the Bombers game, but... And he's been barred from his podcast for a month. He's not allowed to go on the Essendon podcast for a month. But what he said is truth or defence? Because what he said about Bevo and that the blokes will be leaving, I mean, there's no doubt that Caleb Daniel will leave that club. Caleb Daniel's had the greatest fall almost in the history of the game. He was like a celebrated
Jack
player.
McRae as well.
You know, he was inspired. As a coach, me, junior coach, he was an inspiration to young little guys everywhere. Little kids. So I always used to use the example. Mate, Caleb Daniel made it.
People still use that example. Yeah.
And now he's getting destroyed. He's not playing. Yeah. So they're not using it now.
He'll be looking around.
No, but just don't flick that off. So Caleb Daniel.
Jack McRae.
I think Lobb's going to have to leave. If Tim English stays, Lobb's going to have to leave. Mm. So I think...
Well, now Sam Darcy's emerged now, so it's really a bit top-heavy, isn't it? That
Sam...
Line. And Aaron Norton.
Sam, the other bloke, you mean?
Yeah. I'm talking about Sam Darcy.
Yeah, Sam Darcy. But because if English re-signs, then that's the death knell for Lobb, isn't it, really? Because they got those two blokes.
He could find his way to another club. His age is not kind to him, though. He's post-30, so...
So I think Bevo's in a lot of trouble. I mean, I love the bloke, and he's... He's eccentric, isn't he? He's won a premiership. It must be hard to axe a premiership coach, especially that premiership
they
won. Well,
remember, Lee Matthews famously had a job for life, Barra.
At Collingwood.
Didn't last.
If you can axe lethal, you can axe anyone.
Oh, look, I think will he appear somewhere else? There's a lot of talk about Fremantle earlier in the year, but I think J-Lo's going okay at the moment, just quietly. And
so is Simo now.
Beveridge, I think, probably could reappear somewhere. So
where would that be? North aren't going to... Get rid of Clarkson.
Jesus. No, they're not going to get
Hawthorne,
rid of Clarkson.
Sam Mitchell, he's not going.
No.
Richmond? Uzo's just gone in there.
Nah.
Ross Lyons sort of rallied a bit.
Yeah.
So he probably hangs on. Brisbane, what about Brisbane?
Yeah, that's an option. Yeah, down the track. Well, Fagan won't coach forever.
Who are the coaches that are under the pump? It'd be him, wouldn't it?
I think coaches under the pump. Well, Beveridge is number one. I mean, Adam Simpson, it's eased a little bit because they've been very competitive.
A little bit. Fuck, I love it. They love him now.
Yeah.
Punters love him. Yeah. Mate, I couldn't believe it.
Well, punters loved him last year. No, they didn't, mate.
Jeez, it was a campaign.
Did you see the placards at the footy games?
Yeah, but campaign to get rid of him. Yeah. But now, off the back of Harley and all the rest of it. And the effort. Were you at the game?
Yes, of course.
Oh, yeah. Mate, when...
They had no right to be in that game.
No.
The numbers at halftime were all... Well, but it was a great effort in the second half.
15 inside 50s last quarter, and Yo's not even playing. Mm. Reed's gone off with a, you know... Oh, mate, Reed, two things about Reed. One,
the double dusty palm. The double dusty.
Oh, mate... Just explain to people how loud was the explosion amongst the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Never heard nothing like it. Well, I have heard something like it, but it was just, I mean, it must be so weird being a 19-year-old kid in your seventh game and you do something like that and the whole joint, 50,000 people just explode.
Yeah, I felt for Jake Waterman, who was having another great game, and he's taken a fantastic juggle mark, gets him to within 4 points, he'll kick it, and Cripps... Jamie Cripps, and look, he's been a fantastic player for the Eagles over the years and had a pretty good game.
First picked.
But he won't remember that fondly, because that was just silly.
And I don't reckon the coach would have had to say anything to him. He would have known.
The reverse decision, of course, and Waterman didn't get the kick. So
you can see Waterman's face. He would have known. And it's
I reckon he took it pretty well, actually. He you could see he was disappointed, but he's like, oh, you know.
Sometimes you don't. When the coach doesn't mention it, you know it's real bad.
Yeah.
It's like even worse.
Oh, the coach addressed it after the game.
Yeah, but I don't reckon he would have said anything to him because that...
You wouldn't need to.
And sometimes that's worse than actually being told off by the coach. You feel like... Because it's like you let your dad down.
Yeah.
It's like a father-son thing. You go, oh, geez, Dad, I'm so sorry on that. And have you ever been let down by your son? Have you ever gone, son? Yeah. Fair dinkum, mate. Mm. Honestly, you don't need to milk it, do you? Kids know. What about Waterman? 6-5-4-3.
Yeah.
6-5-4-3.
Yeah.
For the last four games, he's kicked 18 goals. 4 weeks. Previous to that, 18.
Third on the Coleman.
Took him six. Robbo told me this.
Equal second, actually, on the Coleman.
Took him 16 games to kick 18 goals, and in the last 4 weeks...
So he's got out with the concussion protocols for a hit very late in the game, and he also had some hamstring awareness, so may not have played this week anyway. Let's hope he's back pretty quickly.
Did you go to Newman College?
No.
Oh, you're from Victoria. Did your sons go there?
No, they're at Trinity.
At Trinity.
Beautifully, Trinity.
Mate, we'll probably have some listeners from Newman College on here, I reckon. Mm-hmm. Some ex and Maris, the Maris College as well. Mm. Those colleges, you know, not Maris College, Maris Football Club, and also Newman College. And you know, spread the word, boys. Tell everyone to listen to our podcast because you're about to get the biggest pump up in history.
Okay.
So the Coleman Medal. Who of alumni of Newman College? Can you think of anyone?
Oh, I see where you're going here. So you're going to say Jesse Hogan and Jake Waterman, are you?
Yeah, both of them, second and third in the Coleman Medal.
Well, they're equal second.
Equal second. Equal second in the Coleman Medal. Two Newman College Maris
Footy
Club
Newman
boys.
Well Newman College.
I checked out the alumni. So I knew a few. You'd know a few. Matty Connell.
Oh, yeah.
Crows Premiership player, Eagle. Spider Burton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, wow.
Susie DiMarchi. Baby Animals.
Yeah.
Justin Langer.
Wow.
Danny Green. Quinton Leach, fantastic guy.
Oh, yeah. That is some alumni.
And one bloke they don't mention as much as they used to, Brian Burke.
Yep.
As well.
Okay.
So the school, mate, they're flying, eh? Well done, Newman College. I know that some of the high schools are copying it at the moment, but Newman doing well.
They are. Just with the Eagles, so Waterman, we hope he's back, maybe misses a week. Let's see how he goes through the concussion protocols. Noah Long, hoping for the best, fearing the worst. We should have that news come through today. Suspected ACL.
So season over.
And Elliot Yeo, we were all very concerned late in the game when he looked pretty forlorn. Even being chaired off in his 200th, he looked a little disappointed. It's at the minor end of groin complaints, so that is good news. Let's hope he's back pretty quickly because he was in stellar form and they need him in that side, and Harley needs him in that side.
So he's missing 2 weeks at least, they're saying, aren't they?
Yeah.
For Yoey. But you know what? I just love it how they say that they haven't got the results back yet.
Mm-hmm.
I, as the president of Perth Footy Club, could get a scan done and the results back to me that afternoon. Mm-hmm.
You've got power, though.
No, but don't think Simo does. Yeah. Mate, they unbelievably go, oh, we haven't got the results. I said, piss off. I feel like going, piss off, mate. My mate runs SKG. I know it works, or bloody Perth Rad. And you know, it comes back so quick.
Can I just...
leave it out.
I'm just going to take a couple of steps back here. Something I wanted to mention about the Hawthorn game. It's been a bit of a bleak period for Hawthorn supporters, but one thing that happened at the weekend, if it didn't bring a tear to your eye, you're not human. The Cal Shadir debut.
So good.
If you didn't see the announcement, Jack Gunston telling him he was playing, making his AFL debut. So the backstory to that is both Jack and Akalsha lost their fathers, Jack's
same
dad,
year.
Ray, and then Paul Deere, of course, the Norm Smith medalist in 91. Both died within 3 days of each other. So Jack pulls Akalsha in for a review of his VFL game at the weekend.
That's so good.
And they're talking about it, and he sort of says, look, you know, my dad was my rock. When I'd played, I used to analyse the game with Dad, and he said, and I know you would have done the same, and we're both without our dads now. So if you need anyone to lean on, Akalsha, I'm your man. And he said, oh, and by the way, you're making your AFL debut at the weekend.
That's so good.
His mum, who's on a lifetime European holiday, gets the call, flies back to Marvel Stadium. What a day she's had. Watched him kick two goals. He played all right too.
So good.
And then off she jets back to Europe. What a whirlwind.
He looks like he can play a bit. He was getting in the right positions and got good hands. And his mum talking after the game about Paul, because we have an intimate relationship with Paul, the West Coast Eagles. When I say we, the blokes who played in that era.
Yep.
Because in 91, Waverley, guess who wins the Norm Smith medal?
Paul.
Paul Deere. Mm. Like, he was not a bloke that we put a lot of work into, Paul Deere.
No.
he was a small ruckman.
Pretty good midfield. And just, Greg Deere was also playing at the time.
You could have got a million to one of him being the Norm Smith medalist.
Yeah, you could have.
Out of our two teams. You know how strong your team was.
Yeah, it was.
Let's go through them. Brereton and Platten and Dunstall and
Darren Pritchard.
Langford.
Dipper. Dipper, I don't know if he played 9.
Dermot.
Chris Langford.
And then
Chris Mew.
And suddenly
Michael Tuck.
Paul Deere wins. Who was our ruckman? It was Paul Harding. Was
Dean
it?
Irving? Or Paul
no,
Harding?
Paul Harding. It would have been Paul Harding, I reckon.
Yeah. Just a couple of others with the Eagles. And I'll just read the statement out. Tyler Brockman. A traffic accident occurred in Geraldton early Saturday morning involving Tyler Brockman, who attended a family funeral on Friday afternoon. Fortunately, no other vehicle was involved and no one was injured, which is great news. This matter is being investigated by WA Police and Tyler is fully cooperating. Tyler's personal circumstances are complex and the club will prioritise his health and well-being ahead of any return to playing football. The club has informed the AFL regarding this incident and we await the outcome of the police investigation before making any further comment. The club requests Tyler's privacy is respected at this time. So let's hope he has a full recovery. We're not sure about the circumstances.
A full recovery?
Yeah, well, like, I hope he's not injured and he's okay.
But they said he's not injured. Yeah. No, but there's more to come, obviously. Yeah.
Oh, no doubt.
And probably for privacy they haven't been able to put it in or whatever else is going on, investigations.
Mm.
That's a bit of a worry given that he was one of their stars. Recruits.
Mm. But, oh, he can play. Mm. He'll be all right. He'll be all right. And did you see Adam Simpson last night on 360 was a bit troubling too because they were talking about social media and I think Ross Lyon was saying how the Saints have embraced it and used it to their advantage. And Adam Simpson wasn't so complimentary about social media, Barra.
Not at all. And in fact, he said they've had to, I've got the exact quote here, but he said something along the lines of they've had to involve the police in some of the situations for their players. I'm not sure if he's talking about that one about Harley Reid recently we saw or whether they needed to clarify things, but that's really concerning. And you know what I think we have to be careful about as well is us as media commentators, and in particular, like I saw Kane Corns last night. Did you see that?
No.
And he was comparing Harley Reid with Nick Dacos in his first year.
Different players.
Yeah, and he's basically said that he basically insinuated that Harley wasn't fit enough and that Nick was the, you know, the barometer.
Different players.
And they're playing in different positions.
Well, Harley's inside mid and Nick was off a halfback flank.
I know, but why is he doing that? Oh. Is that ignorance? Because you know that in your first year, you can't do full training anyway.
Yep.
When you're a teenager, you can't actually, your body can't take it. So they don't push you through.
Well, isn't this why he was rested last week?
Yeah, and what Kane was saying was he's come off with cramp, and you know that's unacceptable. You know where he finished that game, I would have thought he pushed himself beyond where he should have. As a young bloke, he's only played 7 games. I think we've got to be careful about casting dispersions, as a footballer once said, on players, particularly even he's only played 7 games and he's 19.
Been a pretty good 7 games.
And he was a match winner.
Quieter at the weekend, but the double dusty got the crowd, you know, disappointed with the loss, but they would have been talking about that long into the night, wouldn't they?
I guess Nick Dacos has changed it up a bit. And then on the weekend, of course, being the match winner. Mate, did you watch him come into that stoppage? And you go, I was watching him. I was going, oh, my God, he's going to win the game here. Where's Walsh? You know, because Sammy was on him, wasn't he, really, more or less. He had a great game as well. Oh,
you know who turned that game after halftime was Tim Kelly. Because he was
Going back to the Eagles?
Yeah, he was quiet in the first half, but then he's flipped it. He just imposed himself on the game, I thought, early in the third quarter.
He was very good.
And they started, and everyone sort of rode on the coattails a bit. Everyone started, you know, a bit of a spike in confidence, and the forwards were presenting, you know. So, look, it was an encouraging performance. However, they've got some players out. Weekly winner of the game, tipping comp Barrow, Russ Thomas with 8 correct. The overall leader is Cam Swan with 52. I'm looming in the rear vision mirror. I had sort of 5. I had a sort of a... neither here nor there round for a total of 48, and I've got one more on you. You got 4 and you're 46. So
did you tip Hawthorn or no?
No. Tip Hawthorn at the moment, mate. They're just struggling, but it was a good win. And the other good news at the weekend before we move on was Tasmania. So it seems that the Labor opposition, so they've just had an election and the Liberal sort of won with a very flimsy majority and were forced into a coalition government. And so, but the Labor were opposing the stadium in Hobart, but now it seems they're on board. So it looks like it's full steam ahead now for Tassie, which is great news. And you know what? Good on you. Tassie's woken up. Build the stadium. It will help your city. It will bring people there. So
yeah, well, Optus is doing the trick for us.
Now, let's talk about the Dockers, mate. And firstly, before we get on to my favourite player, I've got something special for him this week. Let's talk about someone. Let's talk about Jai Amos, right? So Jai Amos, so Justin Long was pretty strong after the game on the treatment. So he's already had a concussion this year and cop one pretty high late in the game. And Uze was on the defensive when asked about it after the game. It's just the defender doing his job. Yeah, but I think that the treatment, but this is up to the umpires, Barrett. They can stamp this out. Just start handing him free kicks at the top of the square and they'll stop.
I had a close look at it. What Ben Miller did at the end there with a knee on the head, that was no good. And he copped a fine. Maybe he should have got suspended, but he copped a fine for that. I like the way the boys showed the flag. They all came in and they all got fines as well now, which, you know, Fifey won't bat an eyelid, but a couple of young blokes might. But the thing about Amos is that he's probably 5 to 7 kilos lighter than he needs to be, and eventually he'll get there, and he's putting on more weight. But you are going to cop that behind the play, so I kind of get that. But the wrinkle that's changed everything is his concussion scenario.
Yep.
So, like, that's given Justin Longmuir the opportunity to now say, mate, if he's going to be copping head knocks and getting concussion, then this really does need to be looked at. So maybe even the way you defend now starts changing.
You've
got to
play within the rules, Barry. You can't just go whacking blokes in the head.
No, but they weren't whacking him. They were blocking him and stopping him from making his run, which everybody does since footy was invented.
But the knee to the head late, that's just...
Yeah, that was dumb. So that sort of thing needs to be frowned on. But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So because he's getting concussions, it takes it into a whole new realm.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the AFL now have to consider the way you defend. Does that have to change as well? So the game's changing everywhere, doesn't it?
It is changing, yes.
And you know when you block blokes, when they go for their lead, that's the hardest thing for a forward is to get a run at a ball and take a mark. Really, we should open up the game so you can go for hangers, because that's what we love to see, don't we? One-on-one contests, going for marks. But really, you never get a chance to do that. You've got to go 6 ways to actually get a run at the ball.
You do.
Because they just keep blocking you. Yeah. Block, and you get bumped and you get
banged.
It's
a pity, really. The days of the old, you know, one-on-one, full forward, full back days.
Michael Roach over the top.
So many players now.
Ablett.
Just flood that back half. It's Modra, just a different game.
And, you know, like Luke Ryan had 70 possessions doing that. McGovern does it. That's where the Eagles were really strong, is they've got Gov and they've got Barass, right? So you can't go down the middle. You can't do what
you've got to try and go around
used
the edges.
To be. Yeah, you've got to go sideways. You've got to go around them.
Yep.
And they're the two guys that are changing it for West Coast, having those two guys fit.
Available, yeah.
And they can't score. But it is a worry that the game is changing. Like, and I understand, maybe it's better that we have an open game.
I'll tell you who it doesn't bother, this bloke.
This is an important cyclone warning announcement.
So my favourite player, Tracy. Josh Tracy, cyclone, I tell you what, he's up and about at the moment, isn't he?
He was talking.
You know what?
Up.
We've been talking him up for a year or two, and they're starting to catch on in the East Coast now, aren't they?
Yeah. Does it worry you how much he's talking it up himself?
He's not talking himself up.
What do you mean? He said, I love taking on their best defender.
That's all right. Confidence. That's confidence. Yeah, that's all that is.
Does that worry you? Because
no, he's fine.
He wasn't playing on bloody...
Well-grounded young man.
He wasn't playing...
Victorian farming community, very well-grounded.
Yeah, I know,
mate.
But wait, who they got this week? So he'll come up against Dane Rampey,
if he ever shows a hint of it, he'll just go back home, wander amongst the cows at his property and just get some perspective. He'll be fine.
Actually, he might be all right this week because I think they haven't got another key defender, have they? They've got Rampey, which will probably go to Amos.
Mm.
So maybe he goes again. Maybe he'll be good again. I wouldn't be talking enough if I was him, though, because he does like saying that he's going all right.
He's all right, mate. He's,
but he is doing well. He
tell
is
you who's
well.
Going all right is Hayden Young. So anyone who – surely no one's left for the return him to halfback, Kate.
No. No, and you know what? He's almost their best midfielder now. I mean, Sarong probably the way – the extractor man.
Oh, Sarong's still their best mid.
He's, yeah, but he's got – I reckon Young's coming, isn't he?
Yeah, and the thing with Young is he can – he's got that beautiful left foot.
He's like Bont.
And he can kick right foot. Kicked a right foot goal at the weekend.
He's
a bit
great,
like Bont.
Great right foot Pont.
Take a mark.
Pass and a goal.
I reckon he's opponents
the, is
as
he
well.
The new Bont? Are we dubbing him the new Bont?
Okay.
Have you got a sound effect for that?
No, but we can come up with something.
Let's get the new Bont going.
Did you like my line at the weekend about Hayden Young and Dusty Martin, the young and the restless?
Oh, good, mate. Good. Was that on the back page?
No, it's just in my analysis. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been listening to your radio stuff.
Oh, you another plug. Nice.
Doing very well. Luke Ryan, 39 possessions. Cyclone Tracy, Caleb Strong, Jordan Clark, probably in all-Australian form.
And did a good job too on Shai Bolton, Jordan.
But yeah, exactly. But I had Hayden Young best on ground.
Yeah,
in my
I did
opinion.
Too. And well, so, you got the coaches.
And the coaches
votes.
Agreed with us.
Yeah, they did. They
luckily.
Did. So let's look at the coaches' votes for that game. It was for the Dockers. Hayden Young, 10, so perfect score. Caleb Sarong, 8. Luke Ryan, 6. Andrew Brayshaw, 4 is very good. Cyclone, 1. And Jordan Clark, 1. And while we've got him, mate, the Eagles, it was 10 to Zach Merritt. Terrific game from Zach Merritt. 7. Talking about Trinity College, Nick Martin, how did he get away?
Oh, mate.
How
I've been
did
investigating
he get away?
That because he was training at West Coast.
Prolific.
I couldn't. And, you know, Jason Dover, his manager, did a great job in getting to where he missed 3 drafts.
Yeah. That's I think he had, incredible.
Clubs had 7 opportunities.
You know, I was interviewing him on Friday. He just doesn't look like a footballer. You know how some blokes...
Looks like an accountant.
Yeah.
When you talk to him, he sounds like an accountant.
The other votes went 5 to Kelly, Tim Kelly, 4 to Jake Waterman, and 3 to Darcy Parrish. I tend to agree
but
with
that Nick
votes.
Martin thing, that is one of the great balls-ups.
Yep.
He's turned out to be an absolute star, and he was under everyone's noses, including Fremantle, but mostly West Coast.
So, Barra, are you going to congratulate me yet on my pre-season premiership prediction? Or
of Melbourne?
Mm.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the ladder.
Knocked off the previously undefeated Geelong.
They're 4th.
Mm-hmm. Poised to
but
strike.
They're still there. You're
big so, game this week, Carlton.
So you're still saying Melbourne for the flag, eh?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yep. And you know what the difference with Melbourne this year is? Is they're possessing the ball a bit more. So they're not just going, because they haven't got the star forward line, have they?
Mm.
Really. So they're controlling the footy more. They're playing a more controlled game. A bit like the Eagles back in 2018, and they're just
yep,
finding a way into that forward line. They're not rushing it.
They have so got the greatest ruckman in the modern era.
Oh, Max Gawn.
Has he gone past Dean Cox?
Oh, geez, that's a big call.
I know, he's a big call. I didn't say he has. I'm just asking.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's up around about that area, which is bloody good.
He's the Cox area.
Has he gone, you know, the late Jimmy Steins, you know, he's wearing his number.
Has he got,
done it proud.
Has he got 6 All-Australians?
Oh, he's... Yeah,
and what
absolutely.
About Bradley Fritsch's goal?
Oh, he's a great kick, isn't he?
Far out.
Is he the best kick in the comp? I mean, his confidence is up. He's a good kick.
But that was spectacular. You know what? And Sydney's top, right? And
oh, Geelong, Sydney. Well, we give some credit to Sydney as well.
But they've had, you know what? They've had a benign draw. A very benign draw.
Well,
so
got, let's
I'm
see
not
how they
sure
go Friday there is, night here against Freo. It's a big game.
Yeah, and see, I'm not sure that that might be overstating them on top of the ladder, mm-hmm. 7-1.
Well, they're there. Like, you can only beat who you're given, Barra. And Isaac Heaney, Brownlow favourite?
Did he go again?
Yeah, he went again, mate. He's listed as their best player.
Cheapest, he isn't. He must be the
and Gould, the coaches' Gould votes.
Gould was spectacular.
Well, no. Coaches' votes, he only got 1. Chad Warner, actually, he was terrific, Chad Warner. He got 10 votes at the weekend. He was really good. So there's lots to like about Sydney.
Did Goulden get a vote?
Yeah, he did, mate. He was amongst the votes.
Yeah,
yep.
Grundy was pretty good too.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and so the Giants came back to the field a little bit.
Yeah, they're just a little bit off at the moment. Toby Green's having a bit of a quiet patch. Maybe he's trying to find his role now, Major. Because he was always the one who was the barometer for that team, but now they've got a few barometers. So maybe that's a little bit to be suggested there.
I think the biggest factor in the game was that when Tom Green got injured,
huge.
As soon as he went off, was like,
geez. There's my tip.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
You
felt.
Blew your tip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt
so
that.
So you must. So when you got five and I got four, I must have tipped West Coast and you didn't. Is that right?
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah.
You tipped Essendon.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Just a flip of the coin.
I can't
one.
Believe you tipped Essendon.
And the other results, interesting. St Kilda had no problems in, you know, taking care of North Melbourne. Adelaide, what did you think of the showdown?
Way back. When was that? 3 weeks ago?
It's Thursday night. But
look, what happened?
And Jake Soligo, he with the rat's tail mullet, it's a great look, but he's a good player and he is emerging, isn't he? Really, maybe he's their best midfielder now.
I just thought it was very brave. Yeah, good point. I think it was very brave by Ken Hinckley to admit he made a big mistake on Rosie.
Oh, yeah.
In playing him. And he said, the buck stops with me, mate. I reckon Ken's in a lot of pain. If they miss the eight or they don't do well.
They're not missing the eight, mate.
Well, they're seventh.
They're not missing.
And Rosie's going to miss, isn't he?
Yeah, well, you would think he misses a couple.
So they got Geelong this week. Yeah. So they're out of the eight.
Mm.
And they're after nine rounds.
Well, they're at GMHBA, so the alphabet
and
stadium.
No Rosie.
Mm. I know who I'll be picking this week. But well done to Adelaide. Good effort. Written off a little while back. So just sort of looming Adelaide. And the Magpies, are they back, Barra?
Well, they certainly look like it, mate. And they had, you know, that what's in the favour of the West Coast Eagles, the bloke who made all the difference in the game, their forward who did his hammy.
Brodie Majacek.
Majacek is out. Mm-hmm. And Tommy Mitchell's out as well.
Degoe.
And Degoe, does he come back this week?
Not sure at this stage.
So they did well without Degoe in that. I thought the Blues should win. So it's a bit, another question mark over the Blues. We always do that, don't we?
Get defence, mate. Up. Defence. But you know who we've got this week? And we will obviously preview the game on Thursday. Carlton, Melbourne, Thursday night. So you've got the two of the most informed forwards, Curnow and Mackay, coming up against two of the most informed defenders in Lever and May. So that alone is worth the entry fee, isn't it? I'm looking forward to that.
It must be. Being a Carlton fan must be so horrible. Mm-hmm. What about Lachie Schultz? Did you see that?
Well, he deserved a week for that. Yeah. I don't like getting punched in the back of the head, mate.
See who he punched, though?
Remind me, Akers?
His former teammate.
Akers?
He obviously didn't get on well with Blake Akers at Fremantle.
Oh, it's out the footy field.
Mate, he looked like he wanted to give it to him.
Yeah, he probably...
I reckon because Akers is a bit...
Niggly?
Yeah, what would we say about him? He's a bit left of centre.
Yeah, he's good. I like him. He's a good player.
Yeah, good player, but he can be... He can get up your nose.
Well, he's got up Lockie's nose. But Lockie deserved that week, mate. You can't be going around whacking blokes when they can't see what's coming either.
I know. But the fact that he did it against his old teammate means that, I don't know if it was more than Blake or it says more about him.
Oh, I don't know, mate. Oh, I don't know. Hey, now it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel Mailbag.
Yes, thank you to Thirsty Camel, our long-time sponsor. Special this week, Barra, Baileys and Kahlua, 700 mils, only $36.99. Don't forget Mother's Day this Sunday, May 12th. Remember the old Kahlua and milk? It was a very 1980s drink, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Still around, must be.
Got it. Yeah, of course it is. And the old Baileys, that was the go-to late in the night, wasn't it? We've got a $50 gift voucher to give away. Thank you to Thirsty Camel. Get your questions in for next week too. Quarters and Barra at wanews.com.au. What have I got here? I've got one from... Look, there's one from Balga, Kim from Balga. I won't read it all out, but she's concerned about mental health and the sort of publicity that Harley Reid's getting at the moment. Believes it too... Well, from I guess she was referring to the West Australian.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Who works there?
I do.
What's your answer?
Well, we love, mate, Harley. People love Harley. They love reading about Harley.
Now, can I just clarify something? So he must sell papers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because just to see that explosion.
A lot of digital movement too, you know. People online and they love it, mate. And he's been the,
so you're just
one
giving
of the stories.
People, giving the people what they want.
Yeah. He's been one of these stories of the AFL season.
Mm.
People used to not watch the Eagles games because they were so crapola last year. Now they're watching. Because Harley's out there and you don't know what you're going to... Well, you know you're going to get something that's very watchable.
So who else was like that? Nat Nui, I suppose.
Yeah, Nick Nat at his prime. He was absolutely like that.
Peter Matera.
Tony Modra, because you knew he was going to stand on someone's head. Peter Matera, he's going to have five bounces up the wing, you know.
Who else pulled him through the doors? Jacko?
No? Probably Warwick Kappa.
Juddy?
Yeah, Jacko pulled him through the doors, particularly when he played on Kelvin Moore and did his handstands. Remember that?
Oh, Mark Jackson. Yeah. I was thinking of Glenn on Wayne Carey.
Yeah, that was a battle you always pay to go and see.
And what about Cuzzy? Pull him in?
Yep.
Juddy pull him in?
Absolutely.
How do you judge these things?
Pav?
Seriously, though, how do you judge these things?
Well, it's watchability, isn't it? I mean, it's highlight reels.
So you don't have any empirical evidence?
No.
Well, you must have.
You mean about Harley?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people love it, mate. People love sales, reading about...
Digital hits, that indicates... Yeah, okay.
Of course.
So we should track who those people are and talk about them the most.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
Well, that's how it rolls, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I'm trying to explain to the lady from Balga.
Okay. Well, but thank you for your email.
Why it gets done.
But she does raise a good point. Obviously, mental health now is a very serious topic, and clubs do have good systems around players now to deal with that stuff. So,
I wonder if you'll get jack of it. Will that make him...
Right now, I think he's pretty happy with it, mate.
Yeah. When does it start?
Walk around shopping centres and fill in his trolley and, he's got a lot of...
But it does wear off eventually, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does.
Yeah, like in Hollywood. Even Cuzzy said it wore off, you know, after a while. I just can't go anywhere. Nick Nat can't go anywhere. Still. With those dreadlocks, you can still see him and coming and it must be horrible. He stays in his house.
Mm. Does he?
Plays PS4.
Oh, that's nice.
Plays with his kids. Oh.
Tim from Busselton writes, Hi Quarters and Barra. In March this year, the AFL announced all leagues under the National League would adopt a mandatory minimum 21-day protocol for concussion. Well, that is true, but that is underneath the AFL level. So from the Waffle, the Sandful, everyone under the AFL has now got 21 days. For the AFL itself, if a player suffers a concussion, yes, they must enter into the 12-day protocol as they are in so-called advanced care settings. Is this the same advanced care that saw O'Leary return to the field last year after suffering an obvious concussion, or Tom Liberatore continuing to play out a game this year after clearly collapsing on the field? Given that doctors can't, with any certainty, properly predict a hamstring niggle, then how can the AFL say they can decrease the concussion time for AFL-listed players based on advanced care, which clearly is not up to standard? Treat this issue seriously. 21-day minimum for all. Thanks for the podcast and keep up the running quarters. Thank you, Tim from Busselton, and thanks for the
Are you still running?
Yeah, I've been running, yeah. Not as much as I should be, but yeah.
You got a marathon?
Yeah, I've got a half coming up in the Sunday week.
That'll
be very slow walk and run. Very slow.
Yeah, right. What sort of time?
Run for a reason. Oh, well over. Two and a half.
2.5 hours?
It'd be really slow, mate.
2.5 hours.
Oh, it'd be very slow. Yeah. But I want to run the marathon, the Perth Running Festival marathon at the end of the year in October. So I'm building towards that.
Did you lose any weight being off the
script? 5 kilos.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That
is a great email from Tim, by the way, and I wholeheartedly agree. I don't know why they didn't go to 21 days, and I think there are concerns over Tom Liberatore. He copped a knee to the head very early in that game.
It has changed, hasn't it? The 12 days in the AFL doesn't really apply anymore.
No.
You've seen it, Fremantle. Switkowski.
Well, the really interesting comments about Switkowski, and good on you, Fremantle. And that's how it.
Yeah.
I think most clubs do treat it this way.
I think that's right. So, it's for Tim's information, so Switter would do the main session, and then the next day, he'd pull up not so flash.
Yeah.
And he'd get a headache or something. There'd be some signal, so the symptom would come on, and he'd say, you know what, I don't think I am right yet.
So under the protocol.
That and also they need to rest him for the Sydney game this Friday.
So it's 12 days, but it's 11 steps, Barra. And one of the steps is training and then recovering 24 hours later, and he hasn't been able to tick that box. So that's why he's not out there. They're not really, most of them
it's
are going longer
anymore.
Than 12. But why not just go to 21? Because you give 21 for a standard hammy, but when you
But that might just make people start playing after 21 when maybe they shouldn't. Like Amos didn't, he missed two.
You've still got to tick the boxes, mate. You've still got to.
Yeah, no, but you know what I mean? Like 21, I reckon the way it is now, with the clubs being voluntarily taking part in making sure their players are fine, I reckon it's a good way to go.
I reckon they'll go to 28 eventually. I reckon that it'll just happen, mate. It has to, because we know so much about head trauma now.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the mentality of the clubs supporting it.
Yep.
They're supporting it at the moment. You might lose them if you go to 28 days.
I don't think so.
And the players especially, I certainly would.
I reckon that's a very good email. James Brown, I feel good, from Samson writes, "G'day, boys. I was just thinking about how a player gets suspended. Currently, they get suspended for the following games, which provides no benefit for the team they were playing against who sustained the act. What do you think about the suspension applying for the next game or games they play against the same team? For a serious act, that could penalise them for a couple of years, so they may be delisted before the penalty is played out. But it would at least offer the other team some benefit for potentially losing their players due to injuries sustained in the act." That's a really good, very good emails today. We discussed this on the other program, on the ABC Barra, and I reckon, if you just say you cop a 3-match ban, right, I reckon one of them should be served against the team you transgressed against. However, the caveat to that, it's got to be home and away. If you play them in the finals, you still play in the finals. It's the next home and away game you play that team. So you'd serve two, then you'd come back and play, and your third would be when you play that team. I think that's
good. And if you don't play them till the next season?
That's the next season it rolls over. And of course,
so you do get suspended next year?
Well, you miss the game the next year, right? But you'd still be eligible for the Brownlow. But if you're traded, it's wiped.
And so if you retire, you actually get away with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I reckon it's a good.
It sounds like
you're poking
a crazy suggestion.
Yeah, I like it.
I'll tell you what, though, it's an old chestnut, that's for sure.
Here's one for you, Barra, and we should talk about the waffle.
He loves old chestnuts.
I do.
That ABC show is full of old chestnuts. Oh. That's good, though. People love the old chestnuts.
That reminds me of Joey Chestnut, the hot dog eating champion from the US, but I digress. "Hi, Quarters and Barra, why doesn't the waffle take advantage of AFL football at Optus in round 14? Oh, sorry, no AFL football at Optus in round 14. They could stage the equivalent of Gather Round by playing all three fixtures for the weekend on the same day. The non-competing four clubs could hold functions and or recruitment drives encouraging attendance for the remainder of the season. 6 weeks is enough time to make it an immersive experience, a wonderland," which is their catchphrase, "to attract people to the waffle." That's from Andrew. Good email, Andrew.
That is a good email.
Some worrying story in the West today.
Yeah. Well, Waffle Wonderland's been a great initiative by the Footy Commission. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that it was a big back page story, wasn't it?
Mm.
Line.
So a homophobic slur.
Line in the sand. On the emblem of the WA emblem with the black duck, the swan. What's the thing on the swan's nose? That must be the nose, is it? I haven't noticed that before, have you?
The highbrow subjects covered in today's podcast.
I have not seen that before.
Oh, I don't know, mate.
It's a beak. It's a white beak. Okay.
There you go, mate.
So line in the sand, league hands down, ever biggest ever homophobic.
I reckon you're
slur.
The only person who's that's concerned with that today. I don't reckon any other person who's picked the paper up.
I don't know,
up.
Mate. I suggest that a lot of people would be just going, what the hell's that? Yeah. But I like it.
Let's be serious for a moment. It's a serious story.
Still got a Harley on the back as well.
It's a serious story.
Yeah. All right. So where do you stand on using the F word in footy nowadays?
Well, no, you can't use it.
Mm.
Simple as that. So he's got a record ban.
A three-week ban.
Well,
and it's because...
sends a very good, important, not good, it sends a very important message out to people. Don't do it.
Well, it's because our bloke who copped it earlier in the year, he got 1 week and then an email went out to all the clubs and said, listen, we're going to enhance the penalties. We're going to, going forward, we'll have a stronger approach. And not talking about this case, but it is pretty tricky too when you say something really loud and the umpires hear it. So it's not up to the opposition player anymore. It's sort of like the umpire goes, no, I heard you say that. Mm. So I'm reporting you. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Well, if you say it,
so the opposition player is not fussed about it at all.
You just can't say it, mate. Just don't say it.
Yeah, I'm not disputing. I'm just saying it takes it out of the hands of, it's not really a complaint about an opposition player, is it? It's about the umpires have heard it, and then you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Well, you know what? It may affect other people around the ball too. It's not just the person it's said to. There are other people who may be disturbed by it. So you just can't use that language anymore.
It is
2024, mate. We've moved
pretty... It's definitely redundant language, and that's why you shouldn't use that word anywhere.
Yeah, I'm tipping they won't be.
Because it does slip out. when you've had a few, or if you're playing footy in a heat of the moment.
I would never use it. Anyway, dear comrades, always enjoying the podcast.
Comrades.
Question regarding man-on-man defence. Seems a little silly to me that commentators complain about it going out of our game. When the era of man-on-man defence saw huge goals being scored, shouldn't defenders be given huge credit for playing a looser game and preventing huge bags of goals, and the onus be put back on forwards to adapt to the newish defending style? Regards, Luke. Interesting email, given what we were discussing earlier. But
with Omis,
I think, you know, the 6-6-6 sort of system, which I think's been a good innovation, and that sort of clears it out for centre clearances a bit, doesn't it? So, but you know, I'd love to see big hauls of goals. I miss that.
I know, and the reason is because of team defence, and they all come to your aid. Any good player, any good forward, gets double teamed, triple teamed all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, is that the best way? If you had a vote amongst the punters and you said you can have one-on-one footy or you can have team defence, which way would you go?
Oh, you go one-on-one.
I know. Yeah. So is there a rule that you could bring in? This is something for our people to email
in. Well, the only rule you could bring in is you don't have so you can only have six in your back half at any one time. But I'm not sure if that's going to work because our game's so fluid. I just don't think it can work.
But even then, it's Luke Ryan and, Jeremy McGovern.
And McGovern's
as soon as the
season.
Ball leaves the boot, and it's because of extra fitness and well, in the old days you wouldn't leave your man because you were knackered.
He's a good kick too, McGovern, isn't he? He rarely wastes it. Rarely. Yeah. So is Luke.
Yeah, yeah. But good we're talking defense. About yeah. defence, right? Yeah. So what they do is when it leaves the other bloke's boot, they leave their player immediately and go to the hot spot. Immediately. They sprint to the hot spot. You could never do that in the old days. You weren't fit enough. So that's the problem. And when I say problem, that's how they double team Amos or whoever it is. Is there a way, is there a rule we can bring in where we, because we don't want that, do we?
Or
I don't
think so. Too many rules.
We'd like to see Carey versus Djokovic.
Yeah, we would.
We'd like to see Martin versus Modra or Martin versus Lockett, don't we?
Yeah.
One-on-one. Can we get back to one-on-one footy somehow?
Well, let's try, but I don't think you can do it by outlawing anything. It's just going to have to be some sort of a organic innovation, organic way to do it. I'm just not sure what the answer to that is.
And what they tried to do was wear the players out, didn't they? Mm. By, you know, making them have to work so much they got fatigued at the end of the game.
The only way you could do, there's a possible answer here, and that is by reducing interchange.
Less rotations. Mm. Maybe that's the answer.
Maybe that could be and that introduces fatigue into the game. So there's a lot to be said for it.
Fatigue's good, isn't it? Because it opens up things. Because you have a look at Hayden Young, right?
Mm-hmm.
Early in the game, he's a very good midfielder, but he's not taking on those kicks early on.
Mm.
But as the game progresses and players get tighter and there's the gaps in the play, he's hitting those kicks where blokes are leading into space and they're free and he's going for it through the middle. And that's mainly a product of fatigue. And so guys with great boots can do that.
Yeah.
So fatigue's actually a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
We don't want super fit athletes all the time, you know, blocking up space and turning into a rugby game?
No. I think fatigue is king. Hayden Young, by the way, did a bit of a fife at the weekend because he was firing out more handballs than he was kicks.
Mm.
But interesting role change.
Well, he took over from Fifey, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And you know, he also benefited was Johnson.
Mm, yeah, he played well.
Spending more time.
Was a good game.
He looked good.
Best game
Johnson
for the
looked
year.
Good, yeah. So that was clever. That was clever by Longmuir.
O'Meara's best game too on a wing, I thought.
Yeah. To take the Dangerfield thing, which what they did with Dangerfield at Geelong was just rest him during the season and have him ready for the finals and make sure he got through the season and then up in the flag.
Well executed for Fife.
Yeah, and so now they've done the same with Fife. Making him the sub, is that the way to do it?
Yeah,
I suppose you got him there.
You still get some footy into him that weekend. I think it was, and you can use his, because he's a very experienced, crafty player. So, you know, if you needed him late, he just
felt like they had a bob each way, though, didn't they?
Because
I reckon they thought they had him covered, so maybe they didn't need Fife to be on the bench. But you know, he is there for you, I suppose.
And he and Young play that really important role as the midfield bull, and I think you know, heaven, we didn't want it to happen. But if someone's injured, then you're going to need him, mate.
Yeah,
that's what the sub's there for.
So he'll come storming back this week. So Friday night footy, it's a big
massive
game.
It is.
And it's a double-header, you see?
It is, yes.
Which is not. Why has that happened?
For Geelong, Port Adelaide, Fremantle, Sydney. We get one or two of them. I guess it would be to do with the, you know, the 6-day, 7-day breaks, all of that sort of thing. It's complex. For AFL fixturing, mate, it's more complex than the Enigma code, I'm telling you.
It'd be
easier to crack the Enigma code than to come up with an AFL fixture that keeps everyone
happy. What is the Enigma
happy.
Code, mate?
That was the World War II code, mate, that the German bombing of the Atlantic. They
cracked
it.
Whose code was it?
It was the Germans.
The Germans' code. Yeah. And who cracked it? The code crackers.
Some very clever people in some English country town.
Now, mate, before you go on, just about that. Friday night footy.
Yes. Doubleheader.
This is where you've got to back me up, mate.
Yeah, okay.
And I said something on social media. And
yeah, you're talking about the overlap?
Essendon went 9-day break, Eagles 6-day break, and they still managed to get on top of them in the last quarter. Again now, Friday night footy, Fremantle 5-day break.
Yep.
It's just not right. Why put them on Friday night? I mean, no, they want a Friday night feature.
You can't have everything, mate. You've got to, you know.
And so that's what's forced them to act on Fife. To preserve him, they probably sat out Sutkowski so they can use him on Friday as well. Mm. I mean, Erasmus was unbelievable in the waffle, by the way.
Yeah.
But he had to play on the weekend, so he's now Friday, is he? Can you play him? You know, like all those sort of things. Mm. He's got a short week as well. I don't know. It's just the fixtures, mate. It's just not right. And it seems to go against our clubs all the time.
Two conferences, Barra. That's the answer. High quarters and Barra, people talk about home ground advantage and how it may impact players on a game-to-game basis, but there doesn't seem to be much research or talk on the likely impact of travel and flight miles on career length and therefore income. Oh, I think there is. Surely if some serious research was undertaken, it would find that the excessive travel that WA-based players are forced to undertake has shortened careers. Players would then have a genuine case for some additional monetary compensation. To provide some real-life context, does Judd get to 300 if he stays at West Coast? Does Shuey or Stephen Hill have the same level of soft tissue injuries, or do they squeeze out an extra year or two playing for a Melbourne-based club? To avoid salary cap-related advantage, the AFL could provide a lump sum payment at player retirement. That's from Will. Look, it's a good email. I'm not sure about the lump sum, but there's no question if you look at the Eagles and Dockers and what they've had, one 300-game player each. Is that right?
There's the Pav and Bunga Hearn.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it.
Bluey McKenna always used to say, there's no question my career was shortened by travel, because they do an inordinate amount of air miles.
I think the professionalism of players has changed it up a little bit. But having their own plane might be the way to go, more flexibility.
Chartering, that has helped.
And otherwise, you ask for the early games always, don't you, in Melbourne? Which is pauperama, because you've got to get to the airport and get home before midnight.
Yeah, but they do prefer that, because we actually asked this question from Jared Schofield at the weekend, and I think
that's what I mean. They ask for those games.
Yeah, because
really,
so you want to get out.
But it's not ideal. It's not ideal playing early like that in Melbourne.
No, 11
but you have to
games,
to get home.
Yeah, because you're not.
And in
used
Sydney,
to
you can't even get out of the bloody airport. Is that still on after midnight? It can't fly out or something?
Yeah, because of the local residents.
Yeah, so you got to wait till the next day. There's no doubt that it shortens careers, and it doesn't get factored in at all. Bunga was the first Eagle to play 300 games, and in our year, I think Jacko got close, but no one. A lot of that had to do with celebrating on the plane and perhaps not doing the right things.
Now they're really good at it. In fact, I also asked Jack Petrocelli about this a couple of weeks ago. And he said these days, he reckons he stuffed up last year with one. He just didn't do it the right way. He says now we just got it down pat. It's all about icing.
It's horrible, isn't it?
But you do it on the plane the whole way across, and there's a way of doing it so you just nail it, and they're pretty good at it now.
Does that fly in the face of why we play footy for you?
What?
That we're like, imagine getting on a plane and not being able to have a drink and have to ice and stretch all the way home for 4 hours. And
I flew to New York. Didn't have a drink because I was running in the New York Marathon. So, I'm an athlete. I understand these things.
Oh, yeah, disciplined for 17 hours or something.
I did, because I couldn't, you know. When you're on those long hauls, mate, you want to have a sneaky one.
I know.
A little G&T.
And you got to be careful too, don't you? Because you go hard for 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
And then you get real pissed, and then you have a hangover for like 10 hours.
Oh, nothing worse than an in-flight hangover, I can tell you.
That's a rookie mistake, I tell you. The freebies don't peak early on the freebies.
Oh, I tell you.
Time you run.
You have been listening to Quarters and Barra. We have been brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Thank you, Barra. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Thursday to take you through our predictions for round 9 of the AFL season.